So I'm going to try to not go as long as usual today because we've got five baptisms and I'm excited about that and I want to give them the time that they deserve. But I am excited about the text that we have today. This Palm Sunday, we usually celebrate Jesus as King, and today in the text we're going to be celebrating Jesus as King, but in a different way than usual. It's our last Sunday before Easter, but this Friday we're going to be wrapping up chapter 15 with the death and burial of Jesus at the cemetery. Hope you guys can make it for that. But today we're going to be looking at the mockery and the crucifixion of Jesus. So this is Mark 15, verses 16 through 32. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him, which is about 9 in the morning. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Lord, I pray for this next few minutes as we dig deeper into your word. I pray that you would speak to us through it, and that we would truly see Jesus lifted up and exalted. And I pray for those about to be baptized, would you prepare their hearts now to receive what you want to do in them through this baptism process, and prepare the rest of us to receive the testimony of that baptism. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know if you are familiar with how GPS works. There's this way of locating a person called triangulation. That if you can measure the distance of a person from three different points, you can pinpoint where they are. This morning, we're going to be getting a pretty exact location on Jesus because we're going to be coming at him from three different angles. So the first angle is just the text that we just read, the mockery and crucifixion of Jesus. But today is also Palm Sunday. That's the anniversary of the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and the people shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And it's also the day that we baptize five young followers of Jesus. All three of these events point to Jesus, and where they intersect, we'll get a pretty sharp picture of who Jesus is. And I know we like to come away from every passage of Scripture with a nice clear application, and today we will have an application. But I'll tell you, if we're too eager to shift the focus onto ourselves and what we're supposed to do with the text, we're going to miss the point of the text. This text is all about Jesus, just like our lives, just like those who are baptized are all about Jesus. In this text, Jesus is mocked, he's crucified, and yet it's those very things that glorify him for who he really is. Believe and hail the crucified Jesus as Christ our King and Savior. Believe and hail Jesus, our crucified King and Savior. So Jesus first of all, even when he's being mocked, is glorified among the nations by their mockery. The soldiers and the crowds and the priests all say things about Jesus that are meant to insult him and discredit him. And yet in the process, they're really proclaiming the truth about who he is. We got a mailing from CRU, which, you know, used to be called Campus Crusade for Christ. This mailing told us about work they were doing in a Muslim country. And this official, this government official in this Muslim country, came up and confronted these people from CRU passing out Bibles. And they handed them a Bible and they said, well, why don't you try reading it for yourself? And so right there on the street, this Muslim official opens up the Bible. I think it was to the book of John. I don't have the reading, the mailing, but I think it was the book of John. And he just starts reading it out loud on the street. And people were just kind of standing around listening to this Muslim official reading about the life of Jesus from the book of John. And he gets done and he says, can I take this Bible home with me? Even though he was not a Christian at the time, and we don't know how his story ends, I don't know whether he ended up becoming a Christian, and yet God used his voice to proclaim who Jesus is to everyone around him. That's kind of like what's going on here in this passage. The soldiers and the crowds and the priests don't believe in Jesus. They're mocking Jesus. And yet they are proclaiming to each other the truth about who Jesus is. So first it says that this whole company of soldiers gathers around a beat and mock Jesus. They put a purple robe on him, which is a very luxury clothing item. But to go with his luxury purple robe, they twist together a crown of thorns, which are garbage. They put together what is precious and what is worthless to make fun of Jesus as king. Like, here's what the king of the Jews looks like. And they called, "Hail, King of the Jews." They fell on their knees in homage to Jesus, while at the same time beating him over the head and spitting on him. They treat him as precious and worthless at the same time. And let me pause right there, because God help us if we do this to Jesus. Sometimes we also come and we worship him as king, we hail him as king with our mouths, but then we walk out from here and we treat him as worthless the rest of the week by our disobedience and by the time that we refuse to give him. These soldiers worship Jesus, but it was empty mockery. Watch out that your worship of Jesus is not actually mocking him. And yet God the Father gathered together this whole company of soldiers, these Roman soldiers. They're not Jews. They don't know the prophecies. And yet that day God had Jesus presented before them so that they could see and hear and bear witness to his son as king. They didn't believe it was true. And yet they were saying it and hearing it anyway. Likewise, the sign posted above Jesus' cross claims that he is the King of the Jews. And the people passing by mock him. They say, "So you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." Now, did Jesus really claim that he would destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days? Close. What he actually says in John chapter 2 is, he says to the crowd, "You destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." And it says the temple that he meant was his body. And Jesus did come down from the cross after he was dead. They did destroy the temple of his body, and yet he did raise it again on the third day. And finally, the chief priests, excuse me, the chief priests mock Jesus. They say he saved others, but he can't save himself. "Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." And they thought it was ridiculous that a person that can't even save himself would claim to be able to save others. Or that the king should be nailed to the cross like the lowest criminal. And yet it could not have been otherwise. Maybe they forgot that King David, that, you know, God originally made the promise of the Messiah too, wrote that he would have his hands and feet pierced, that they would divide his clothing among them. Maybe they forgot that the very Psalm 118 that The crowd was shouting on Palm Sunday when it says, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," also says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." This Christ, this King of Israel that they're making fun of, had to be rejected. He had to have his hands and feet pierced and his clothing divided among his enemies. And the only reason that he was able to save others is that he would not save himself. His life laid down for ours. The soldiers and the priests and the crowds all shout these things to insult and mock Jesus. But ironically, they're proclaiming the truth about who Jesus really is and glorifying him in the work that he accomplished by the Father's will. So when we see these things, what should we do? And that question, what should we do, tempts us to turn our focus to ourselves too quickly sometimes, when it would be maybe more beneficial for us just to stay and just dwell on who Jesus is in this text. And you five who are being baptized today, you're making a declaration today that your life is no longer about yourself. It's about the one that died for you. When you're at home, when you're at school, in your joyful moments, in your difficult moments, keep Jesus right in front of you, ever before your eyes. If you have already been baptized, do you remember that that's true of you? That that's the identity that you took on when you were baptized into Jesus? If you've not yet been baptized, are you ready to trust Jesus that way? Your life is not about proclaiming yourself and what you've done, but proclaiming Christ and what he's done for you. This passage is all about Jesus. And in particular, those who are being baptized today, I'm going to ask them two questions. In short, the two questions are just, do you believe in Christ to wash you clean? And will you follow Christ as the risen Lord? And that's essentially what this text challenges us to do. First of all, to hail the crucified Jesus as King. Hail him as King. The crowds on Palm Sunday shouted, "Blessed is the King of Israel." And now in a nastier tone, the priests say, "Let this King of Israel come down now from the cross." The soldiers kneel to him as the King of the Jews and hang this sign above his head to mock him. And yet that doesn't mean it's not true. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Go ahead and throw that picture of Jesus up there. This is a classic painting of Jesus crucified. When you see Jesus hanging on the cross, whether in a painting or just in your mind, say, "That is my King." Philippians 2 says, Jesus became obedient even to the point of death on a cross, just like Paul read for us earlier. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place so that the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because he died, he is our King. A few weeks ago in Sunday school, Erica shared the lyrics of this hymn with us, and I wanted to share it with you. He once was dead, the very same who sits on yonder throne above, who bears in heaven the greatest name, whom angels serve, whom angels love. He once was dead, but now he lives. His glory fills all heaven above. Its blessedness to heaven he gives, the fountain he of joy and love. His people shall his triumph share, with him shall live and with him reign. In heaven their joy is full, for there they see the Lamb for sinners slain. This is your King. Hail him. Praise him. Adore him like the angels in heaven do. Kneel before him, not in mockery, but in surrender and devotion. And sometimes following a crucified king is rough. It means denying your own desires at times, just like Jesus did. Sometimes it'll mean facing mockery. People will make fun of you for proclaiming Jesus to be your king. But don't be afraid of mockery, because your king faced it, and he was glorified by it. and his people will share in his triumph. And secondly, believe in Jesus as the one who saves others, not by not saving himself. Believe in Jesus as the one who saves others by not saving himself. The priest thought that if Jesus couldn't save himself, it was proof that he couldn't save others. You'd think that priests of all people who offer sacrifices day after day would realize how absurd that is. And sometimes one thing has to die so that something else can live. You'd think that they would know Isaiah 53 that says, "He was pierced for our transgressions, and by his wounds we are healed." Jesus' death doesn't prove that he couldn't save others. It proves that he did save us. Or rather, his resurrection proves that his death was effective to save us. And the priests say, "Let this Christ come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Well, guess what? Jesus did come down from the cross, but not until after he had accomplished the Father's work. Not until after he had died in our place. And then he was dead on Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday morning. And then on the third day, he was raised to life again. And many people did see him and believe. If Jesus hadn't died, we wouldn't be saved. And meanwhile, his resurrection remains one of the most powerful reasons that people believe in Jesus throughout history. On Palm Sunday, the people shouted, "Hosanna." You know what Hosanna means? It means save us. Save us. Maybe the most important way that we can apply this text is to believe in this Christ, this King of Israel, who did not save himself so that he could save us. Those being baptized today are committing their lives to follow Jesus, but before they can follow him, they had to believe that he is the one who has saved them. And I hope you'll listen to their testimonies. I was so delighted to hear these kids talking about their faith, getting ready for their baptism. Because every single one of them understands that their hope of eternal life is not built on themselves, but on Jesus who died for them. Following Jesus can be difficult. And when we fail, when we fall short, when we sin, sometimes we doubt our own salvation. When you are faced with your sins and failures, don't look at yourself. Don't look to see whether your good deeds are adequate to cover up or to outweigh the bad. Look to Jesus Christ who is crucified and believe that he has saved you because he didn't save himself. We're going to be moving into our baptisms now. And as we go and prepare, the rest of you are invited to sing this song and celebrate that Christ the King did not despise the cross, that for our sake he died, that he is risen, and that even now his kingdom is spreading across the world until the day he comes again in glory. As being baptized, you guys can step out and get ready for your baptism.